focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go harder. Just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive. Just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and as always, just showing your higher self, man. And we got a phenomenal guest today, man. This brother is dynamic. He's amazing. He's phenomenal. He's motivational. He is inspirational. He's a leader. He's an entrepreneur. He's an author. He does it all, man. This is my brother, David Nurse. David, what's up, man?
Kyle, hey, can I hire you to be my agent, my spokesperson, my hype man? Like, what do I got to do to take you away and hire you full time?
Look, man, look, we appreciate you, man, coming on the podcast, brother, man. We truly appreciate you, man. Thank you for your time, brother. So, you know, I gave like a brief overview, but for the listeners for the first time who are just really getting tapped in, which they must be under a rock if they don't know who you are. But, you know, for those people, that's under their rock. Could you just explain to the people who is David Nurse?
Man, if you don't know who I am, do not worry about it. I only expect you to. So let me give you just a little bit of a background just to catch up to speed. We can go in depth on the background, whatever you want to do. But basically, my whole life was poured into playing in the NBA. I grew up in this small, middle of nowhere cornfield town of Iowa. And I thought I was going to play in the NBA. And like my vertical leap, Kyle, is about 2 inches.
Wow. Jeez.
So my parents probably should have said play tennis or golf, something like that. But I loved basketball. Every waking hour was committed to basketball. So I was going to play in the NBA. I poured everything I had into it. Got to grind my way to play college basketball and playing overseas professionally. And when I say that, playing professional overseas, people are like, oh, that's great, that's cool. But it's more like the Will Ferrell semi-pro type of league, if I'm being honest with you. And hey, imagine this, though. I'm still thinking I'm playing in the NBA. I didn't have a backup plan. I'm pouring everything I have, two-a-days, film study, personal development, and I get cut from this team. I get cut. So all my hopes and goals and dreams, everything I poured into my life is taken away from me, turned upside down, my face rubbed in the dirt, basically. So I got nothing going. I go back. I'm living on my parents' recliner chair in Kansas City, where they were living at the time, for about 6 months, feeling bad for myself, licking my wounds. And my mom, she'd be great on this podcast. She'd always say these motivational, inspirational quotes. And she was like, whatever, mom, in one ear, out the other, I'm not listening. But she said this one that stuck with me. I remember vividly, she was doing dishes and I was kicked back in the chair. She said, David, when one door closes, four open, and an entire beachfront patio overlooking the ocean. I was like, hold up, wait, I thought it was one door. Where's this beachfront patio coming from? I don't know about this. But what she was saying was everything I poured into playing in the NBA, what I thought was for myself, was actually my ability to coach players who had more God-given ability, 7 foot height, athleticism, to play in the NBA. So it wasn't a waste. My whole life wasn't wasted. It was setting me up. And sometimes, well, a lot of times, actually, which is crazy, there's a stat, 85% of people tie their biggest setback to their biggest success. So when something feels like it's all been taken away from you, it's actually just leading you to what your actual thing you should be doing is. Your setback leads you to your setup. So from that moment on, I realized I'm going to coach in the NBA. Now, it's a whole long story we can get into of how that actually happened and everything, but coached in the NBA in Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I like to say, Kyle, that I set the foundation for who Brooklyn has become now. Like, team, like, nah, I had nothing to do with it. We were horrible back then. But that led to afterwards training NBA players individually and finally, like, continuing to pivot. My whole life's been a continued pivot to writing books, speaking all over the world, podcasting, and just helping people really, man, at the core, find what their true purpose, their true joy, their true mission is, and helping them unlock it and unleash it.
Well, that's amazing, man. And I think, you know, well, you dropped so many gems within that time frame that you were talking. You know, I love the fact where you spoke about your mom because, you know, God rest her soul. She reminds me of my mom. You know, my mom, she had passed from breast cancer. But prior to her passing, she was a God-fearing woman. She was a teacher for the Board of Education. And she reminded me of your mom because just being so positive and so optimistic, you know, and having that mindset that, you know, no matter what you're going through, there's the same persistence wears down resistance. So having that mentality, like, I'm not going to fail. I'm just going to take this loss. And, you know, it's not a loss. It's a lesson. Right. It's like, you know, don't view it. Because a lot of times mentally, I think how people view things that can determine the outcome. It's like, all right, this isn't a loss. This is a lesson to teach me how to improve and build upon it. You know, so it's amazing.
You know how true that is? Like, let me speak on that for a second. Is the power of perspective. Now, think about this. There is every situation that happens to us. We have the choice of how we view it. And you know that guy in the movie Batman who flips the coin, Two-Face?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that as life. Like that coin, if it's flipped and it lands on tails, Two-Face is doing something terrible. So something bad happens. Tails equals bad. Heads equals good. But what if tails could equal good, head could equal good, which it does. So any type of failure, perceived failure, is only teaching you how to do it better the next way. Failure is never failure. Any type of hardship that comes your way, any type of sickness or just downturn of your whole life, like you literally have that ability to teach somebody else who's gonna go through that at some time as well. So for you, God rest your mom's soul, like you could probably talk to people who have lost their mother and you guys relate and you guys connect and you will have much more of a voice because that happened. But that's spinning it for the positive. The perspective on it is the positive. So anything that happens to us, I'm a firm believer, is never happening necessarily just to us, but it's happening through us so that we can go benefit others.
I love that mentality, Dave. And it's like, you know, that's a mentality of purpose, but also servitude, right? Like understanding that we're not just living this life for ourselves. You know, that's a selfish mentality. It's like, you know, we're here to help other people and we can channel those life experiences to better impact other people, you know? And you, I'm gonna say, man, you're a genius, bro. Cause I've seen a lot of your, I'm telling you, man, listen, man, I saw a lot of your reels, you know, and I'm like, wow, man. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I need to watch one of these every day before I start my day. I'm like, I'm getting pumped up here, man, before I hit the gym, right? But you said something, man, that I really love. You said everybody has a superpower, which is choice. And I like when I heard you say that, you know, and could you just expound on that a little bit for the listeners? Like, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. So that is the super, first of all, that's the first time I've ever been called a genius. So thank you very
first
much.
First time on the Diagnosed Success podcast.
But yeah, so we have, on average, we have 35,000 choices that we make daily. 35,000 choices. Wow. Now, a lot of those are just habit and it's just ritual. 80% of choices are habitual. So it's about how you set up your habits. Like, are you setting up your habits for success or negative? 80% of them are going to be habitual, which I also tell people, like, that's the fundamentals. So if you're relating it to basketball, fundamentals are boring things that you don't necessarily like to do. It's footwork, it's ball handling, it's form shooting, but that's the foundation that sets up everything else. So the habits, even if you don't like always doing the fundamental habits in your life, that's going to set the foundation up, the foundation of the house. You're doing a house, like, to make this beautiful life that you live or this beautiful mansion. Everything starts on the roots down below, and that's all with your choice. You get the choice when you wake up every single morning. It's a new morning. Like, I always live out here overlooking the water now, kind of like my mom predicted in the
like
day.
Like she predicted. She called it.
She called it. I know. Man, the great philosopher, my mom. Mm-hmm. But I get to see a sunrise every morning. And that sunrise is the trigger for a new day. You get to make that choice every single day who you are going to be, who you vote for yourself to be. You don't have to be that same person you were the day before. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the person of your past. I'm a firm believer that our past is either two ways people look at it. Your past is either something that you blame and that you use that affects your present and that's going to destroy your future, or your past is something that you're able to learn from, decide I'm going to do it differently, that gives you a much brighter future. So the choice of, do you look at even the day before? Oh man, like I all this bad stuff happened. Like, how are you going to look at it? Like, okay, well, you know what that actually means? I'm going to choose to live in myself. I'm going to vote for myself to be the person that God made me to be today. And I'm going to vote for myself to be positive. Even when things are coming at me, I'm going to vote for myself. Boom, deflect them. I'm going to be positive. So, man, there's so much craziness that goes on in the world. There's so many reasons to be negative. There's so many excuses to be made for why somebody can't do something. But like, when we think about it and you just kind of step back, we are living here. This is not our long-term destination. I mean, our long-term destination is in heaven. If you believe it's in heaven, this is just borrowed time we're living on. So why take yourself so seriously anyways? Like, yes, love others. Yes, love Jesus. Yes, yeah, like, but you don't have to take yourself so seriously. Like, every little thing does not have to stress you out, man. It's just, I don't know. I'm just a big believer on that choice of choice being spin things for the positive, because there's always, it's like that coin we talked about, there's always two ways to look at it.
Man, well, listen, man, I got past the offering plate for Pastor David, because you preaching to me now, brother. I had a stressful day. So, man, you're right though, man. Mentality, man. And you know, just keeping that focus, man. It's so true. It's so true. You know, just being locked in. So wow, man. I mean, you're dropping a lot of gems, man. One question that I had for you too, David, was I mean, you've had a lot of success. You've dealt with a lot of people, worked with a lot of people, had a lot of different experiences. What are some of the highlights for you? Like, you know, throughout your career, working with so many different people, like, what are some of like the proudest moments, like where you're like, wow, man, like you sit back and it's surreal for you that you did that.
Man, that's a great, great question. You know, what's funny,
brother.
Because a lot of time, no, that's really good. And I've never been asked that on a podcast before. And a lot of times, like, I'm just so like, as type A, you're just go, 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 on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. But I actually had a moment recently. So number one, the biggest accomplishment of my life is marrying my wife, who is amazing. She's gorgeous in every single way, inside and out. So that's number one, my biggest accomplishment. But I had this moment, and it was in New York. It was at the Barnes & Nobles, where I met your dad. The book is on display in Fifth Avenue. Okay, Fifth Avenue on display, the best Barnes & Nobles in the country. And I stopped for a second. I was like, man, 2 years ago, when I decided I wanted to start writing my first book, about 2.5 years ago, if I would have ever thought that this moment would happen, I would have given anything for it. Anything for it. So it's one of those moments you're like, man, I'm always thinking like, oh, because the publishers were there. I'm like, oh, what's the next book going to be? Oh, can we get this next book? Oh, how do we get more sales? How do we get more? And I just stopped for a second. I'm like, you know what? If I don't appreciate these moments, like, why am I doing it anyways? And that was one of the biggest accomplishments that I had, man. It's the continued reminder to me that as well, we can't do these things on our own. Like, that is a total God thing that happened. Like, that's totally God thing. And a lot of times we all, myself definitely included, I want to press forward. I want to count, like, I'm counting how many books are sold. How can I get more sales? How can I, like... And sometimes we just have to bring the fish and the loaves and let God do the rest. That's what he told his disciples to do. Hey, disciples, bring me some fish, bring me a couple loaves. We're going to feed the 5,000. So if you just bring it, you continue to bring it daily, bring it daily, bring it daily. God's going to give you that breakthrough. And that's one of the biggest accomplishments. And funny enough, one of the other biggest accomplishments actually came at a turning point in my life when I realized I wanted to write books. I wanted to speak. I wanted to pour life into others as opposed to just coach NBA players. I was on court out here in Santa Monica, and I had like 25 like big time NBA players on the floor, big time. And as a little kid, if I could have seen that, I'm like, man, this is like the dream. Like, I'm coaching all these NBA players. But there was something in me that was just telling me, like, this isn't it. Like, this is not what you're meant to be doing. And it hit me at that moment too, where I'm like, I got all these guys depending on me to help them. This is amazing. It looks cool from the outside, but I didn't really want to teach people how to shoot another jumper or step back or crossover. But what I figured out in that moment is I love encouraging these guys in something more than just basketball. I loved helping them find joy outside of basketball, help them find their confidence, help them with their mindset, as opposed to just the flashy, what looked good on court. So one of my biggest accomplishments, as you might say, of working with 25 high-level all-star NBA players was actually another pivot that would set me up for what was to come later in my life and what I'm doing now.
Wow. Well, that's huge, man. And you talked about the players. What are some of the players that you've worked with?
So some of the I worked with Wasserman Agency, which would have been like the Russell Westbrooks, Klay Thompsons. So those guys would come in. Domantas Sabonis, one of my main players that I worked with a lot. Kelly Olynyk, Jeremy Lin, Norm Powell, Brooke Lopez, Shea Alexander. There's been a lot of guys. There's been some guys that are more than others. Some that are like, Norm Powell is one of my guys I work with on a daily basis on the mindset space. I do a lot more in the mental game as opposed to just the physical on court. It's funny how it developed too, man. Like, it was always like, oh, well, it's got to be the jumper. It's got to be the skills on court. And I'm like, well, you know what? Like, that gets you to a certain level. The next level is the optimization. Okay, how's their sleep? How's their nutrition? Like, how's their recovery? Then it was figuring out that little piece. And then I was like, well, okay, that's good. That gets you to another level. But what's the final piece? And it's your mindset. It's your mentality. It's how you step on the floor every single night. Are you confident in your abilities? Unshakably confident. What happens when the game goes crazy? What happens when the storm hits? Are you able to deflect that storm and still be your best self in that moment? A lot of guys aren't. It's funny because the majority of NBA players, their biggest struggle, these are the best athletes, high-paid players, is confidence. Literally their self-confidence. I have this conversation with players all the time. It's crazy.
Wow, it's crazy. You know, and you would assume because a lot of these guys are financially where they need to be that, you know, confidence comes with that. But like, you know, a lot of people know, man, you know, confidence is something internally, mentally, you know, it's a lot more that goes into that, a lot of layers, a lot of dynamics. So, wow, man, that's heavy, man. And, you know, I wanted to circle back because something you said, I think it was fire, man. Like, you know, you said that you're training these guys and you're watching them. But you knew, like, you know, inside of yourself that there was more. And I think that's important, too, because on this podcast, when we talk about success, just mentally, you know, we talk about the trilogy, right? Mentally, spiritually, physically, just feeding all of those, right? It's like, you know, making sure your mind, you know, you lift weights physically. Well, mentally, you got to work your mind. You got to, you know, train your spirit, right? It's like you got to have all these things going. And that's important to listen to your inner compass. And that was so fire when you said that, because it's like you're in tune with yourself and your spirit to say, hey, this ain't it. You know, there's more to this thing. And I think for a lot of people, that's critical, like following your inner compass, letting it lead you and guide you. And a lot of times with society, I feel like the more advanced we get, the more dumbed down we become to the most natural things, right? So it's like your innate nature spiritually to say, this vibe is off. I don't really gel with this person, you know, or this guy is cool, you know, like, so your spirit's always going to talk to you, man. It's never going to lie to you, you know?
Inner compass, man. Hey, that was some fire. Inner compass? That's cool, man. You could write a book, Follow Your Inner Compass.
Hey, you know what's funny, like, David? My father was just having this conversation with me. He's like, let me know when you're ready for this book, all right? He's like, stop playing.
About inner compass?
Yeah.
That's a great, man. That's such a great concept. Like, that's something like people are like, oh, man, I can follow my inner. Like, you're right, because society, and even if it's a good situation, here's the funny thing. Like, with that, with NBA, when I said I wanted to be an author, and people were like, nah, David, you're NBA. Like, I got this offer from the Phoenix Suns to run their whole player development. Like, I could bring in all my people. Like, it was a dream job. But it wasn't my great. It was the good standing in the way of my great. If I would have taken that, which most people will take, the good, because everybody around me was saying, hey, this is the, yeah, that's a great, yeah, man, that's it. That's what you do. Like, my identity was in NBA coaching. And if I would have let everybody else tell me what my identity was, I would have never been able to get to where I am now. So, yes, my inner compass told me it's not it. Like, this is not, I want to be doing coaching, speaking, author, this. And the outer compass or whatever you want to call it, the world, was telling me something else. So I think that's such a big disconnect, man, for people that they won't follow their inner compass because they're afraid of what other people will say or how they will be viewed if they do.
Mm, that is powerful, man. Like, and I love that you said that, man. You know, a lot of people let their good stand in the way of their great, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, when people get comfortable, you know, and I always say it's like, you know, you have to be uncomfortable being comfortable, because that comfort zone will kill you. You know, like, it'll say, all right, you know, well, this is comfortable. This is what I'm used to. And because it's familiar, I'm going to stay here. But if you stay there, you'll never get to your final destination, which is greatness, you know? So, wow, man. You got the gems, David. I told for all the listeners, man, I told y'all, this brother's a genius.
Hey, so do you. Hey, we just birthed a book here today.
Right, In the compass, man.
Follow your inner compass.
Look, that's it. That's it, man. That's it, man. Look, I got some more for you too, man. Because we spoke about the book, man. Book is phenomenal, man. Like, I guess from just talking about it, I mean, because obviously they know that you're an amazing author. Is there one particular chapter in the book that you really love the best? It's like, you know, like a musician, they drop an album, that's their favorite single. Like, what's your favorite chapter, you know?
Man, you know what's that's another awesome question. Like, I've never got that, but as many podcasts about the book I've done, I've never got what is your favorite chapter. You know what it is? My favorite chapter is the last chapter in it, because the last chapter leads me up to the moment that my wife walked down the aisle. And wow. It was the whole culmination of the different segments that Breakthrough is about, is the confidence, the cooperation, the service, the purpose. And you know what is no bigger than all of those together added up is finding the one that God has made for you. And for me, it was in the book, I write about it at the end, of just like the moment where I was like, oh, it's like, yeah, it's on. Like, every one of these have come in step together, these four segments. This was my biggest breakthrough that I've had. So that's my favorite chapter. But I mean, it's almost like choosing your favorite kid. I think I'm biased, man, since I wrote it. Like, I think there's some points that look at things from a different lens that can open up different ways to lead, even. Like, one of them, for example, is most people say, well, everybody says you got to be a great listener to be a great leader. And when you think about listening, you think about just being quiet and hearing. But the best listeners are the ones who are curious. The best leaders are the ones who are curious, who are asking questions. So anytime you're in a conversation, it's like you're doing as a podcast host. Think about it being a podcast host. I want to dig deeper. Okay, somebody tells me something. All right, well, why does that affect you? Like, why? Like, and I've been around some of the greatest coaches. Like, Eric Spoelstra in Miami is a very good friend of mine. My uncle coaches the Toronto Raptors, and they're really good at asking questions. So listening is not about just being quiet. Listening is about being curious. And there's a lot more of those type of, oh, well, hold up a second. Let me look at this from a different perspective. And it's kind of changes the way you might have viewed certain aspects prior.
Yeah. No, I agree. Listening, you know, and just learning, just being a sponge, just taking it all in, man. Taking in knowledge, man. You know, another
question. You know what though? On that point too, like, as much, and this is in here too, as much as people love reading books, listening to podcasts, taking in knowledge, one of the biggest disconnects is between knowing and doing. And there was back in the philosophical days, in like the Aristotle's, the Plato, Socrates, there was this word called techne. And techne is the art of doing. So this was before the pre-Socratic era. So this was before these guys came in. These guys came in and they started this word, started living and teaching in this word called episteme, which is the art of knowledge. So they changed everything to the art of knowledge, and lost in the wayside was the art of actually doing. And I think that is like where we're at a lot too in society. People will talk a big game. People will take in all this knowledge. But when it comes down to actually doing something, there's very few who will actually go out, do, and follow through.
That's true. That's so true. And I think part of it is too, being that we're such in a digital space now, a lot of people feel like, you know, that ease with social media and just sitting behind a screen all day. and they feel that they can get that same impact, you know? And it's like, it's fool's goal at the end of the day. You can only do but so much, you know? To me, a DM doesn't have the same impact if I'm in a room with somebody and I can look you in the eye and shake your hand, you know? It's just, you know, so you know, for all the listeners out there, just be intentional, be impactful, and take action. Like, just don't sit there. You know, you got to get up. You got to, what they say, faith without good works is dead, right? So it's like, you know, you can have the belief, right? But if I'm just sitting in my house all day eating a bowl of Cheerios and saying, I'm going to blow up one day. Yeah, your stomach's going to blow up, but you ain't going to blow up, right? You got to put in the work. Right. So,
hey, you know. Yeah, you're preaching now, baby. You're preaching now. That's good.
That's, you know, good. It's a fact, man. So, yeah, just be intentional, be purposeful. So, that's a fact. That's a fact, man. Another thing I have for you, too, David. I ask everybody that's on the podcast, man, this question. So, I'm really interested to hear your answer. And that is, what is your mantra? So, for me personally, I have two. Mine is persistence wears down resistance. And collaboration is greater than competition. So just the belief of always building with like-minded people, you know, and just building something greater together. It's like, if you got a hammer, I got a screwdriver, let's build something, you know?
Yep.
So you know, yeah, man. So what's your mantra, brother?
So I've got two. I'll give you one for a business sense and one for just the personal living sense. The personal living one is give thanks in all circumstances. I have it tattooed on my side. No matter what situation, good or bad, God, thank you. Thank you for the situation. Thank you for this opportunity. Give thanks in all circumstances. One of the most powerful mindsets. It's gotten me through so many things. And from a business standpoint, it's system plus process equals results. Meaning, if I focus on only the results, if I focus on what I want to get to, I will never get there. But if I focus on the system, let's say is the main thing that I want to do, like what is my strength? What is my system? What am I pouring all my time into? Like what is this big needle mover for me? Then the process are the daily habits that I do. And I know that, hey, if I do this habit, and I'm pouring in a little bit here, planting, got the seeds that I planted, now I'm pouring water on a daily, it's going to lead to the results. So if you have your system, you know what your wheelhouse is. So you know, let's say, take for example, if it's podcasting, you have your process. Okay, I'm gonna work on my art a little bit here. I'm gonna practice some things here. I'm gonna study some podcasts. I'm gonna reach out to some people. That's gonna lead to the results. If you stay at it day after day after day, nothing's going to come quick. It's going to be literally one of the best cliche quotes ever is takes 10 years to become an overnight success. I would say
yes.
Even more. And yes. Most people will give up because they go for the results. It's just like an NBA player. If they go for, hey, I'm going to go out there and score 25 points a game. No, you're not. If you're going to drive yourself nuts. But if you focus on, okay, my best shots are catch and shoot threes from the corner. Now, what can I do on a daily basis to work on those? And then when I'm in the game, how do I get the most opportunities catch and shoot from the corner? Now, if I get up 10 of these, 10 threes from the corner, I'm probably going to get around 25 points a game. I'm going to make 6, 7, or maybe I get any more. I get to foul line a few times. So basically what the point being is, don't focus on the results. Focus on your system, your process, and then the results will come.
That's fire. That's fire, man. That's a fact.
Thanks, brother. That's questions are phenomenal, man. These are literally questions I've never got before, which I
you know love. What? That's, man, that's awesome, man. And I love it, brother, because it's like, you know, I always try to make sure that the questions are questions that are really engaging, you know, and that the people want to hear, like they've never heard it before, you know? Yeah. So I got another question for you, man. So, you know, normally what we ask, I guess, too, is you like hip hop? You're into hip hop?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's a question for Dave.
Kyle, I grew up in Iowa thinking I was Eminem. I'm a sixth grader rapping to Forgot About. I could tell you, I could sing every lyric to Forgot About Dre. Don't make me do it. But I can do it.
Here we go. So, so here's my question for you, man. And I'm pretty sure no one ever asked you this question before on a podcast. What are David Nurse's top five dead or alive MCs, man?
Oh, top five dead or alive. Jeez. I mean, can I throw Eminem in there?
Of course. Look, it's your list, man. It's your list.
All right.
And they don't got to be in no particular order. Just shit, you know.
Yep, Eminem, Tupac, Jay-Z, old school. Mm-hmm. Kanye, when I was in college, when it was that graduation album.
I agree. Man,
my pregame song was The Good Life. Every single game was The Good Life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go Christian rap. I think Lecrae is phenomenal.
Lecrae's fire.
He's fire, man.
He's fire. And, you know, talking about Lecrae, he took Christian hip hop to another level, you know, because prior to him, I know they had groups like they had the Cross Movement. They had the Gospel Gangsters. They had T-Bone. There was a lot of Christian MCs. But when Lecrae hit, you know, what he was able to do with Reach Records, I mean, you know, you got guys like Andy Mineo and, you know, all these other guys on the roster. I mean, he's really elevated the art form, you know. And I've seen he's taken a lot of flack, too. Like, some people feel he's not preachy enough. But, you know, the reality is this. The way I feel is that the times that we're living in, especially with young people, you know, it's good that they can get great music that they can relate to. You know, I don't feel that every other, what do you want? Every other bar has to say Jesus. You know, it's like, you know?
That's such a good point, Kyle. I love that. Like, he made Christian rap actually cool. Like, everything before it was cheesy.
Yeah. And,
like, a lot of Christian movies have been cheesy. So someone's got to hit that right, too. But Jesus said, and you don't just go and say, hey, follow Jesus. Hey, like, it's what you do. You wear it on your sleeve. People see it in you, and then they ask about it. It doesn't have to be. No one wants to be preached to.
Exactly. You know, it's all about being relatable. Like, you know, even biblically, right? Like, Christ went into the street, right? It's like, I'm most impactful where people need me. So if I sit in the church all day and I'm surrounded by everybody who's already figured it out, I'm useless, right? I need to be physically in the streets. That's where they need me, you know?
Yes.
So, definitely, brother.
I love that, man. Just think about it. Like, you just said, like, Jesus went to the streets. Like, everything Jesus did is the way to be an actual leader, and it's not by the book. Like, he brings down, think about how he makes his ultimate team. He doesn't bring superstar kings, princes. He gets fishermen, tax collectors, people that, like, these misfit people. Mm-hmm. And he's putting them together for the team. Like, that's such a great analogy for, like, the teams that we make. You don't want just all superstars or people that think are the full of themselves. Bring people from all different walks of life. Man, bring misfits together. So, I mean, you just got me on a tangent there, man.
It's true, though. It's true, you know. And it's funny you said that, because I was thinking about today. I saw, like, footage from the All-Star game with Jordan. You know, he was hugging everybody. I saw him hugging Rodman, right? And I thought about the dynamics of that team when, you know, you got Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, right? He's classy, doing fadeaways and all this stuff. And then you got Dennis Rodman, of all people, with dyed blonde hair. And he's down low, toeing elbows, grabbing rebounds. Who would have thought, right? But that's what happens when, you know, you piece people together, man. It doesn't matter, you know, what your background is. It doesn't matter what your social status is, man. Great things happen when different minds from different backgrounds collaborate, you know? So definitely, man. Definitely on point, man. So, well, wow, man. This was fire, man. I love this, David, man. I love your energy, man. I love just everything you're doing. And, you know, I guess just tell the people, man, what's next, man? What's on the horizon? I know you're always on the go, man. And you're doing it.
Here it is. I'm going to tease it out a little bit. I'm just going to tell a little bit and tease it out. So another book will be coming. And I do a lot of coaching. So you can follow it on my website, davidnurse.com, where I'll do group coaching, personal coaching, which I love doing. But the big thing around the corner is I'm going to do a TV show. So I connected with this guy, very powerful in the TV space. I've got this concept, and it's kind of, think of like Anthony Bourdain type of style, but it's going to be all about, I'm not going to say too much. I don't want to say too much before it comes out, but it's all about passion and people following their passion, finding their passion, and how it brings other people joy. So the next big thing is I'm going to conquer the TV space. Keep doing the books. Books are going to be coming, but we're going to get the TV going.
I believe it. I believe it, David. I believe it, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. Hey,
speak it into existence.
That's it. Your words have power. Like they say, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So every day we have a choice, like you said. And, you know, it just doesn't flow with your physical actions. just verbally, what you say, you know, it's like it can either be positive, it can be negative. And we all got a choice. So why not choose the positive? You know, like, that's it, man. Just say, you know what, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to make a plan and I'm going to execute that plan. And I'm going to repeat these steps to get to where I got to go, you know? So yeah.
Kyle, you're phenomenal at this, man. I just want to let you know that, like, literally, I've done a ton of podcasts and you are so good question asking and flowing together. So keep this thing going.
Thank you, brother.
Keep doing it. Cause this will be, you'll look back at this someday and this thing will be a big, I mean, it already is a big show, but it'll be one of the biggest.
I appreciate it, man. Look, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you. And, you know, man, we definitely going to keep it locked in, man. Keep it tapped in with you. And yeah, definitely, man. So we appreciate you, man. And once again, this has been the Diagnosis Success Podcast. Thanking my brother, David Nourish, man, coming on, man. He's phenomenal. I told y'all he's a genius. Don't play with him. And and we appreciate y'all listening as always, man. Stay successful and stay in tempo. Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, not giving up, that's how I give it up. That's how I give it up.